Hey everybody, welcome to Loika Mania episode 7. This is Pat Loika, and today I am joined by a couple of guests. So we're going to be talking about some comics. We're going to be talking about a certain show that ended last week, which was fairly controversial, if I must say. First off, let me introduce the panel. We have Simon Hausner.
Hello out there.
Simon is, of course, a good friend of mine. We do a lot of comic conventions together. I like to call him as the one-man Mossad. He's a badass. And our other guest today is an internet celebrity. His name is Jose Baez, also known as Jabson. Hello, Jose.
Hello. I may have heard wrong. Did you say one-man massage?
No, but...
He's saying it on the streams.
Oh. Well, all right, then. That's not as funny.
So, how's everyone doing today?
Oh, I'm doing awesome. I was just reading, catching up on some comics, so I could have an uninformed conversation with you guys since I haven't read anything.
How about you, Simon?
I'm doing pretty well, even though I woke up before the crack of noon on a Saturday. But otherwise, yeah, I'm enjoying myself today so far.
That's always good to hear. Now, we are going to talk about a certain show that ended last week. Of course, we all know it's Lost.
And what? I was told Law and Order was what we were talking about.
Law and Order? What? I was told it was 24.
Man.
But seriously, it's Celebrity Apprentice. Everybody knows that. Is that it? Did we cover all the jokes about what shows are ending?
I think it's all covered, Jose.
What about Cheers?
You're a little too late for that one.
Okay.
You should have gone for that sooner. You know, that I think that ended before podcasting was invented.
It's probably true.
Very sad for you, Jose.
Let me check Wikipedia.
So before we get into the Lost stuff, though, I want to talk about some comics real quick. There are three really good books, actually four really good books that came out this week that I absolutely loved. And I don't know if you picked up all four of them. I'm going to name them all anyway. Batman, Return of Bruce Wayne, number 2. Thanos, Imperative, number 1. Thunderbolts, 144. And Secret Avengers, number 1. So, which books have any of you guys read from that pile?
Go ahead, Jose.
I have not read any of them. I picked up all of them. And what I can say about Return of Bruce Wayne, number 2, is that number 1 was amazing.
Yeah, I kind of preferred number 1 over number 2, to be honest, but I liked it a lot. I still liked it. You know, the Man of Bats. How about you, Simon?
Well, I picked up Secret Avengers 1, and I picked up Thanos Imperative. And so far I've read Secret Avengers number 1, which was hands down the book of the week for me. And, you know, at least I've read Thanos Imperative.
It's up there. But it's got really stiff competition, in my opinion. I mean, Thanos Imperative was fantastic. It had a great cliffhanger, and I'm not going to ruin anything for you guys if you guys haven't read it. And I don't normally try to ruin stuff for people here either, but it has one of those unexpected endings. I mean, you know that whenever Marvel does a cosmic event, they always end with this, you know, they always do a prologue issue of some kind, which is what this issue is. And it gives you, like, one of those... what the fuck cliffhangers at the end. And this is one of those. You know, it delivers on that as well.
Now, I haven't, like I said, I haven't read it yet, but I'm fairly far behind on all the Marvel cosmic stuff. Is it pretty easy to just pick up and get into? Because it's been a while since I've read that stuff.
Yeah, they explain everything to you right from the get-go, so you don't need to catch up on anything.
You should, though.
You should be reading the books because they're good. But it's not necessary to understand what's going on.
You keep track of the whole hardcover premiere stuff. I remember a while ago that when the first Annihilation stuff, they did a big hardcover. Are they still doing those?
From the cosmic stuff, it starts out with the three Annihilation hardcovers, which have been released as trades, and then they launched a Nova ongoing series. From Nova has come out in trade, and then they did Annihilation Conquest, which is out in two hardcovers also, or two trades, and then they launched Guardians of the Galaxy.
Cool. I'm just bringing that up for the listeners because I'm incredibly helpful.
Yeah, and then Guardians of the Galaxy and Nova went on. Then War of Kings happened. And War of Kings and all its tie-ins have been collected in one giant hardcover, which is pretty good. Pretty good deal, actually.
So you hear that, listeners? Go to Amazon. We're not sponsored.
Yeah, and it's followed up, of course, by Realm of Kings, which is like a bunch of miniseries that kind of deal with the aftermath of War of Kings, and that leads directly into directly to Thanos Imperative.
Well, I'm excited.
I look forward to reading that book. Mm-hmm. Guardians of the Galaxy is one of my favorite books right now, and that's a.
I kind of missed that, but I'm not thrilled with the fact that it's taking a break. You know what I mean? It's on a hiatus right now while Thanos Imperative is running.
Yeah, but it's your boy Thanos.
Yeah, no, but I kind of liked him being dead. You know, it's nice. You know, nice to have a character having an ending. But you know, I this is very intriguing though, so I recommend that you read it.
Absolutely. I recommend people to read it even though I haven't read it.
And then there's none of you guys mentioned it, but I got Thunderbolts number 144, and it's pretty badass team. And they got Luke Cage running the show, and he's basically trying to get these convicts up in the raft to do to do work for their time. And
now, I didn't read that book, but I did read was it either the Heroic Age book or the Age of Heroes book, which is the one that had the introduction story. Where Luke Cage shows up.
Probably Heroic one of those books. I didn't pick those up.
I'm still not entirely sure I buy Luke Cage wanting to go run the team. I don't know if this book will do a better job of explaining it. I don't know with a wife and a...
Well, I recommend that you check it out.
I have it. I know. I definitely want to read it because it's Jeff Parker, right?
Yeah, Jeff Parker.
And I love his writing, so yeah, I'm definitely getting it. I'm just... Atlas. Curious about the motivation. I'm sorry about the dog. He's also excited about Jeff Parker.
Yeah, I like it a lot. It's very different from the other books that Jeff Parker writes, and I'm amazed by how he's able to alter his writing style and the voice of his characters between titles. So this is really something I would recommend for people. And, okay, you mentioned Secret Avengers, though, Simon, and let's get into that real quickly. This is probably some of Mike Diodato's best art.
Yeah, I thought he ended really strongly on Dark Avengers, and he's just kind of...
Well, I think Dark Avengers, like the last few issues, were mired by really bad coloring.
Yeah, I would kind of tend to agree, but I still think Diodato is doing some of the best work he's had in a long time right now.
Yeah, I mean, it looks his pencils probably were fantastic. I've seen his pencils, in person, and they are very, like his pencil art in person, and they're very, very tight. You know, everything that you see on the page is there, and it looks amazing. But the coloring for the last issues of Dark Avengers were killing me. It was too CG for me or something. I don't know. This is kind of a return to form, though, as far as the coloring is concerned, because it looks great. Great set of characters, too.
Yeah, I love the way Brubaker, who's the writer of this book, just pretty seamlessly introduces all of the characters and kind of little flashbacks on how Steve Rogers, who's leading this team, pulls everybody to get together on it.
Yeah, and I dig that they brought back the irredeemable Ant-Man for this one.
Yeah, that was I didn't even realize that he was going to be in it until I picked up the issue, and I'm really happy to see him. The banter with Moon Knight was especially effective.
Yeah, but I also like the redesign of the Ant-Man suit. I think it's great. It's a nice mix of. It's a very modern but very classic at the same time.
I'm currently looking for the. Here it is. I have Secret Avengers number one in front of me. Uh-huh. I like how the cover has characters on it, and it also has the title of the book.
You know I'm not feeling all the Heroic Age books. I'm not feeling the trade dress.
Yeah, it's a little bit... I mean, I don't know. The Heroic Age, big Heroic Age splashed in front of it?
Yeah, it's a little too gaudy.
It is.
Yeah, I think I've heard people refer to it as a cheap Photoshop effect, basically.
Yeah. But is Heroic Age the ones that get, that's getting the Jim Chung wraparound stuff, but it's variant, or did that already happen, Secret Invasion?
What?
You don't remember there were some variants that were done in the style of the old 80s ones? Where you had a character profile and
that was like the 70th anniversary from last year. Those are done. Those have been done.
Son. I'm so out of it, and I'm not hip.
That's because you don't pay attention to variant covers, which really nobody really should, because variant covers are pretty worthless to begin with.
Dumb, unless they're like that, which is so much better than Jim Chung.
Oh yeah, that's also true. So, does anyone have anything they'd like to recommend from, you know, doesn't have to be something from this week, can be something from the last couple of weeks that they really like and they want people to check out?
Oh, gosh. I want, let's see, Walking Dead is really good.
Well, yeah, that's a given.
They're in a super tense situation now.
Again?
So every time I read it, it's like, you're like, holy crap, stuff is going to go down. I don't know if you can cuss on this podcast.
No, go ahead. I don't care.
Well, I'll just say holy crap, though. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Can I say crap?
Yes, you can.
What about holy?
That, too.
Oh, no. Anyway, yeah, the situation. But that's a tough one to recommend because you really kind of have to. So I'm actually saying, hey, go buy the first trade.
from the beginning, because that's really how Walking Dead gets really good. How about you, Simon?
I'm just going to go ahead and say that the entire X-Men line right now with the whole second coming storyline has been incredibly awesome.
Oh, man, I can't stop talking about that story.
It has been very good. I'm going to be like the 1,000th person to complain about the fact that Land is on Legacy, but whatever, it's still a good story, and so I'm not going to talk on that.
Yeah.
So good. It just kind of, you know, lives through the whole Greg Land controversy thing.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a controversy? I was just like, he sucks. That's not really a controversy.
Well, I try not to get into that aspect of it. You know,
I meant.
That's boy, okay. You guys are guests. You can say whatever you want. But that's not what I normally get into. I think it's been good, and I've said it on the show before that I'm not really feeling his stuff, especially in the last issue that just came out that he drew. But you know,
I like Supermodel Handsome Cable, who's always happy for some reason.
Yeah, I noticed that he's been very happy lately.
It's because I won't say it.
The newest chapter, though, the newest X-Force chapter, really good, like, really messed up, really sad last page. I don't know if you guys read it. And of course, it's beautifully illustrated by Mike Choi and Sonia Obak. And it's continues to be some of their best work.
Here it is. It's got another cool Addie Granoff cover. That's what I can say about it.
Yeah.
And speaking of trade, I actually do kind of like the trade dress of this. I mean, not trade dress, I guess. What would you call it?
It's trade dress.
The chapter 9 stuff. And
yeah, that's a trade dress. And yeah, there's some really good design work going on in those covers. And actually, we mentioned Addie Granoff. That's probably some of his best work. That's not Iron Man.
I've actually really liked a lot of his cover work. I want him back on an interior, though, like now.
Yeah, same here. I think he's working on something right now, isn't he? I thought he mentioned something like that on his Facebook.
Oh, I don't keep track of anything. So you're probably right. He probably has 3 books out now, and I don't know about them.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to go right back to it. We're going to talk about Lost, the finale. Stay tuned.
You should do the Lost sound now.
I might do that.
Fred Jose, do it. Give it your best shot.
I don't know. It's like, I don't know.
Actually,
what it
before
is.
We go back on break, I just wanted to comment on something. I'm going to be negative here. Anyone read the Justice League Rise of Arsenal?
I read the synopsis about it, which was enough for me.
So I read the newest issue, number 3. My God, it's every bit as terrible as they said it was.
Did you actually buy it?
I didn't buy it. I read it at the store.
Wow.
It's just something I don't normally do, but the thing is I heard so much about it, I have to see what's going on. And then lo and behold, it actually lived up to the hype. was every bit as bad.
I saw panels of it, and I don't know. Again, you don't spoil things, but all I know is that's a great panel. There's a great panel there.
No, we can spoil this one. This one,
Okay. I'll just say one. I'll just say one. Well, two words. Uh-huh. Dead cat.
No, it looked like he was humping the dead cat.
Was it seriously? Because, like I said, I haven't seen it. I just read the
Simon. I will link you to that panel because you are my friend, and I will make sure you see this.
Excellent.
Probably after the show. Anyway, that's besides the point. Okay. We're going to take the quick break, and we'll be back. Are back. Unfortunately, due to some technical difficulties, we lost Jose. His internet apparently crapped out where he is. I'm not entirely sure why, but it will just be us talking about this thing, this thing called Lost. So, Simon, what are your thoughts on the finale first, anyway?
You know, I gotta say, from top to bottom, I really enjoyed it, actually. I had no problems for the most part with the entire two and a half hours. Sorry.
If you took out the commercials, it's actually 1 hour and 45 minutes, which is kind of tells you a lot about the commercials in that show.
Well, you know, it's the big finale. They're going to try and get as much money out of it as they possibly can because I think it's the highest rated episode in a few years. So.
Yeah, and I like you, I enjoy the finale quite a bit as well. I thought that it answered a lot of questions. I mean, the thing that really matters the most to me is the characters, and it really, as far as the characters go, I was very satisfied with how everything ended up.
Yeah, I think they hit all the right notes and right character arcs with everybody.
Okay. Before we go any further, by the way, from this point on, it's spoilers. Because this show is over, and I can't really talk about the finale without mentioning any kind of spoilers, and that's kind of difficult. You know, it's difficult to do that, and I don't want to be dancing around all the subjects, so we're going to get into it. So.
All right, then give up the big spoiler right off the top then, Pat.
Okay. So the main summary is this. Jack assumes the role of Jacob as the protector of the island, and they're trying to stop Locke, or the man in black who's taken Locke's form, from ever leaving the island. And to do this, to stop him, they have to kill him. Of course, you can't kill him because he's that giant smoke monster thing, and the only thing they had to do was somehow get him in a position where he's vulnerable. So Jack has this harebrained plan to go to the center of the island, or wherever it is, where that light comes from that keeps the island afloat, and to, I'm not quite sure, but he knew what was going to happen if he was to, put the island in that position where it gets destroyed, right? He knew what was going on.
Yeah, I got that impression. I think he had a few.
Because I'm thinking when he took over as the protector of the island, he I'm assuming he also gained all of Jacob's knowledge, right?
I would think so. It seemed like it.
Because, I'll be the first to admit he's not one of my favorite characters. I couldn't stand him most of the time, but in this particular episode, he's very calm. He knows a lot. He's very knowing. So. It's hard not to surmise that he knows exactly what needed to be done. And at the same time, the man in black also was not quite sure what he's thinking either. And he's going there because he wants the island to be destroyed, but he doesn't know that, it would end up being his weakness.
right? I just want to touch really briefly on what you said about Jack being not your favorite character. I think they really did a nice job, the writers, of pulling Jack back in. Like, midway point of the final season, like the Lighthouse episode on, they really turned Jack around.
The last straw with me for the character was that Lighthouse episode when he destroyed the mirrors or whatever. After that, I was like, oh, I hate that guy. But then, since then, he really, really got good.
Exactly.
And, credit where it's due, he really turned around. At any rate, Desmond apparently was immune to the effects of the light there, so they wanted, that's the reason why everyone wanted him. Does that sound correct? He's immune to the effects of the island for some reason or another, and so he was the guy they sent to unplug the island. I guess he's immune to some electromagnetic radiation or whatever it is. The thing about it is, there's a lot of mysterious stuff here. There's still a lot of mystery involved here, particularly with the actual island itself. But as far as the characters go, everyone's pretty much, you pretty much know everything about the characters at this point. So, in the end, the island is unplugged. It's the island was apparently getting destroyed, and it got to, Locke and Jack finally had their fight, and they finally got.
Well, because don't forget that Locke became mortal once Desmond on the island, which allowed Jack to fight Locke.
Or fake Locke, or whatever you want to call them.
Locke Ness Monster.
So what is it? People may call him Flog, or some call him Fake Log, and some people just call him the Man in Black, or the Man in Block,
or the Unlock.
There are all kinds of ridiculous nicknames for him. I just call him Fake Log.
Yeah, how do you feel about the decision to actually never name the Man in Black?
I have no opinion of it. I think I'm okay with the fact that he's just known as the Man in Black. I have no issues with it at all.
Yeah, I thought it was an alright, artistic choice, I guess, kind of to make him kind of more of a timeless character where he doesn't get named. Although, I gotta say, I did read a lot about the finale afterwards where they did reveal that he did have a name in the actual script, they just chose never to use it.
Which I thought was much better. Like I said, I don't mind keeping some mysteries because that's part of the mystique of the show, the mystery. And even in the end, they still leave you with mysteries. You still don't know what that island's all about, what its origin is, and what its purpose for existence is. But, it's there, and these people, survived it. And, before we get too far ahead, alongside what's going on in the island, there's the Flash sideways. And it looks like Desmond appears to be an alternate timeline, but there's more to it than that. In that alternate timeline, he was trying to get all of the 815 people together, or trying to awaken all the 815 people. And I think he got Hurley in before the finale, and Hurley's been helping him out, which has been great.
Yeah, I agree. Hurley was definitely a big help, and especially the last episode prior to the finale of the show, Hurley, of course, recruiting Saeed and Kate, and this brief little cameo appearance by Anna Lucia. It was really nice. And then to see Hurley in the finale being, just every bit of confidence that he kind of lacked earlier in the season.
Yeah, it's been really cool seeing some of these old characters back in the show, even though they've been gone for a while. And this is one of the things I love about Lost too, is the fact that despite the fact that characters do get killed, it's not always the end for them.
Alternative world.
Yeah, so a bunch of characters like Claire, Charlie, Kate, they've all been slowly being reawakened because of various events going on there. And basically all these people are kind of getting together, seeing each other, running into each other, because Desmond has been manipulating stuff behind the scenes. you know, and it's been pretty cool. And it's kind of like a greatest hits too, because you're kind of being you're being shown some of the more defining moments of the characters as all this stuff is happening.
Right, definitely. It's kind of a tour de force of all the season one characters, and it was a really nice moment, especially the flashes that they show during the reawakening of some of the characters' strongest arcs and storylines in the past. It was emotional to see some of that stuff.
Oh yeah, and the Juliet and Sawyer moment probably got me the most.
Yeah, that was pretty heady stuff. I definitely think most people that I've talked to said that was probably their favorite moment of the entire finale.
Yeah, because you know, Sawyer and Juliet, they were a great couple, you know, from season 5. You know, then such a, you know, when the actors are so great at conveying the fact that they've been together for a while, despite the fact that you've only seen them on screen for X amount of time, and they're very effective with their performances. You believe that they're a couple, and you believe that these people love each other. And you know, when Sawyer lost, you know, Juliet in the beginning of the end of last season, you could see, you know, that there's real pain in him, and that's again a testament to the great actors involved here and the great script as well.
Yeah, I should say on the opposite end of that spectrum, as good as the Juliet Sawyer reunion was, I was pretty, I guess, I don't want to say disappointed, but I was pretty underwhelmed by the Saeed and Shannon reunion.
I don't think they got enough time, to be honest with you. They could have gotten more time, and that would have been fine. That would have been better.
Yeah, yeah, and it's been so long since we've seen Shannon, but it didn't resonate as much as the other reunion.
Yeah, there was another... We didn't see enough Penny and Desmond in that, too.
Yeah, unfortunately not. I'm glad that they didn't forget her though, and that she was there at the end.
At the end, but again, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Back to the island, we discovered that, as we've been discussing by email for a long time, we discovered Frank Lapidus is still alive.
Yeah, I got to give you credit for that one, Mr. Loika. You caught that from the moment that it appeared that Chesty was dead.
I mean, I've always been saying, you know, why did they keep him all the way here? You know, why did they bring him all the way here and keep him all the way to this point in the series and then just kill him off? There has to be a purpose to him being there. Turns out, yep, we need someone to fly the plane, which is still intact. Like, in case you didn't notice, I'm a pilot. I'm like, oh, yeah, of course he's a pilot. Yeah, I like that little team they have going with Miles, Richard Alpert, who also survived the last episode's beating, and Lapidus. Great little trio there.
Yeah, I could see them spinning off into their own show where they do crazy adventures with Frank piloting them around the world. And
Richard's like, oh, I need to see more of the world. I need to know more of this world because I've been stuck in this island for God knows how long.
Exactly.
Did that guy ever get out of the island, I wonder?
Richard? Yeah, actually, as a matter of fact. He's been off the island several times.
But I don't remember. It's been a while since I need to rewatch the rest of the series and kind of catch up on that.
One of his big things was when they went to recruit Juliet.
Uh-huh.
I think it was Seattle, wasn't it? He was the head of the company that came to recruit her.
Oh, it's been a while, man. Okay, I need to rewatch this. Just goes to show you, man, with all the stuff going on, all the stuff they're filling up my head, some stuff just goes out. But yeah, Alpert has always been one of the more intriguing characters in the show. I'm kind of glad he survived it.
As am I. I mean, to have Guyliner just bite it, you know, without it.
No, I don't like the Guyliner stuff. He doesn't wear a gun. He just has thick eyebrow. I don't know. Yeah, he's been a great character. I'm also surprised that Miles survived. Miles is kind of a douchebag character, but he's hilarious.
And yeah,
I like him well enough. He's gone a long way since his appearance in the X-Men 3 movie.
I forgot about that. Actually,
that was a terrible role for him, but he was actually a pretty good actor. He survived this whole island ordeal, and probably he didn't lose anything really.
Well, no, he gained a lot. Assuming he still has the diamonds that he took off Nikki and Paolo. He probably made out the best from everybody, actually.
Yeah, and he got to bond with his father for a little bit. From season 5.
Yes. Who is Dr. Chang.
Dr. Chang, oh man. That was, speaking of Dr. Chang, he makes a cameo in this one, but he was hosting that benefit thing.
Right. You want to recap a little bit about the benefit? Because that's where it kind of starts.
Yeah, the benefit concert in the sideways timeline, or whatever you want to call it, is there's a benefit concert that was being headed up by Eloise Widmore, or as we know, Eloise Hawking, who is the mother to Daniel Faraday, but he's known as Daniel Widmore here in this timeline. You know, they got Driveshaft performing, and while he was about to perform, Charlie sees Claire in the crowd, and he remembers her. And he starts to kind of regain his memory of his time in the island, but he's not quite sure, so he went to the back. Claire went to the back, though, because she was not feeling good. She's pregnant, and she might be, she was going into labor, basically. Of course, Kate follows her because Kate remembers her. Like, you know, she had assisted her earlier in the season, and she gives birth with the help of, thanks to Charlie's help also. She gives birth and she remembers Claire, and then they reawaken, which was fantastic, really. A great sequence. Although, yeah. I'm not doing it any justice to the way I'm describing it because, you know, it's very, my descriptions are very abbreviated.
That's all right. I think they really kind of did a nice job with Kate in this episode, too, because Kate has either fairly or unfairly caught a lot of shit for her role in the last couple of seasons. It's glad to see that they were able to finally do something really nice with her character in this end.
Yeah, and I'm glad that, you know, the incident that reawakens her is that particular incident. You know, it's not something with Jack, or it's not something with Sawyer, it's something with Claire, which is great. Because her, out of all of them, really, she had the most noble intentions when she returned to the island.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything okay back there?
Oh, yeah. No, everything's fine.
Okay. Yeah, there was some kind of weird sound coming from you. But yeah, she had the most noble intentions, and I'm glad she was successful, because in the regular, you know, in the world of the living, basically, in the island, they all got to escape after Locke got killed. Of course, actually, to go back to the core of the island, the center of the island, Desmond unplugged it, and the island was getting destroyed. And after Locke got dealt with, Jack decided that it was up to him to, you know, protect the island by restoring it. So he had to go down there and, you know, bring it back. The thing is, he's mortally wounded at that point after the fight. So he appoints Hurley as the new protector of the island. And Ben decides to be his, you know, Ben becomes his assistant, basically, his number two guy. Kind of like he's like a new and you know, if Hurley is the new Jacob, Ben's gonna be the new Richard Alpert, basically.
Right, exactly. And then of course Jack shuffles off into the forest, the jungle.
Well, yeah, Jack fixes everything and restores the island. Sawyer, Kate, Miles, Lapidus, and Alpert get a, you know, and Claire fly out and go home. And in the end, really, we just see Jack, I guess he's dying, over, you know, looking at the sky, seeing the plane go away. Which is, you know, which of course gets him to smile a bit, because he succeeded in his mission, he saved the island, he got his friends home. And, of course, he gets, that's pretty much how it ends, really, at least as far as the island story is concerned.
Right, but he does not die alone, because there's a last-second cameo by our favorite four-legged friend, Vincent.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention that Rose and Bernard were actually, in the beginning of the episode, they're the ones that pulled pulled Desmond out of the well, that where he was left off some time back.
And, yeah, I was nice to see them.
Yeah, and I like how Rose and Bernard have adopted a no-drama policy, basically saying, we ain't going to deal with you guys, because you guys got nothing but drama here. So it's nice of him to save Desmond, and then, of course, yeah, Locke ruins that later on. And then back to the sideways timeline, basically it got to the point where everyone got together, and then we were going to Jack's dad's funeral for some reason or another. And Jack goes there, he realizes that his dad's apparently alive, and we find out that this is actually the afterlife they're in. And they're basically just trying to find everyone and, I guess, get everyone to the next step of their journey. Which is pretty controversial in a lot of the circles I'm in, because a lot of people did not like the fact that they were already dead in that alternate timeline. It's not an alternate timeline, that's it's the afterlife. There are a lot of people who were not happy with that.
It's more of a kind of a purgatory, I guess, in space.
Yeah, that was a purgatory, and they all had to leave together to go to the next stage or whatever. Which I didn't mind, because it led to some very very happy moments. There's a lot of there's a lot of happy moments there, and I thought it was a great way to kind of send off the cast, because it's really I think that moment was very much made for the fans of the characters who really love the characters and want to see them kind of have a happy ending.
Yeah, I think some of the people I talked to kind of summed it up pretty well. And they said that. That scene there in the church where they're all hugging and they're basically high. It kind of seemed not necessarily an ending for the show, but more of an ending for the cast, because they all got together and, had one last goodbye.
Yeah, I mean, you see everyone there. You see Boone there. You see Shannon. You see, of course, everyone's there, And I thought that was a very, very, very cool moment. To me as a fan of the characters, I loved it. I can understand how some people like the atheist side. No, absolutely hate it.
I think they did a nice job of kind of showing that it wasn't just any one particular faith, and they even poke fun at themselves a little bit when Kate questions Desmond about Christian Shepherd. Shows that they weren't taking themselves too seriously.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And the thing is, if you were there for the island stuff, and if you were, you got everything pretty much answered except for the mystery of the island itself. I mean, every plot line that took place in the island was dealt with. And in the end, people got out of the island, and Jack died, and, Hurley and Ben are left behind. Which is, I think that's pretty satisfactory if you only care for that. If you didn't care for that sideways stuff at all for this season, you could always just ignore that and just think of what happened in the island.
Yeah, and that's why I think the ending works really well on both levels, to be honest.
Because you could choose to make that a part of the canon where you say this takes place after that, or you could just say, someone got on the island, someone died. That's it. It really depends on what you're after when you're watching the show, which it makes me sad because. A lot of people who were really into the show didn't like the ending because of that particular thing. Just because there's some kind of religious aspect to it doesn't make it bad. I don't even know how to say it properly. I mean, people are saying it sucked, but it didn't suck. It just didn't work out for you. There's a difference.
That's a great point.
There are people talking about how it was terribly written. I disagree, because it was very well written, And just because it didn't work out for you, it doesn't mean doesn't mean it's bad. It just means you have a different opinion. It just means you have different tastes, and this is not to your tastes. And it's okay to not like it. I'm just saying, you can't call something bad just because it did what it was setting out to do.
I think for people that I speak with, the few folks that didn't like it, the farther we get away from it and they can reflect on it, they've been coming around a lot more.
Yeah, I know some folks. I mean, what's his name? Chris Page, a friend of ours, was talking about how the first time he watched it, he wasn't really feeling it, and then the more he thought about it, the more he really liked it.
Yeah, and I just kind of briefly want to kind of give my critique of folks who really pan the show because they feel that the writers had no idea what they were doing, and that all along this big lie that they knew from the start what they were gonna how they were gonna end it. And to me, that just really doesn't matter if they knew from the very start how it was all gonna come together at the end. You know, what difference does it make? You know, whether they knew, you know, beat by beat the entire, you know, ending from the very start. You know, we got where we are, and that's what matters, you know.
It's the journey, really. And yeah. The thing is, like, I don't know if you listened to this podcast. I mentioned it to you in passing last week sometime. But there's a great podcast called the Creative Screenwriting Magazine podcast. And every year they do a screenwriting expo, and one of the years they had guests, and they had Lindelof and Cuse as their guests. This was back in 2008. And even back then, though, they were talking about how they already knew how it was going to end. Like, they had written the beginning, they had already written the ending alongside the beginning, you know? And they were basically trying to build up to get to that point, which is the ending. They always knew what they were doing. They kind of hinted that they know what they were doing. They hinted at stuff that, if you listen to that, you will know exactly what they're talking about. And that was 2 years ago. So clearly, this was always their plan. They always had a plan.
And, you know, even if it wasn't, it still wouldn't matter because I still think that they did a great job of bringing it all together.
Yeah, yeah. That's also true. But it just shows you how much thought went into the creation of this show if you listen to that podcast. I mean, it was almost 2 hours long where they talk about, you know, the creation of the show and casting and just the writing process behind everything. And, you know, to say that the writing was bad on that finale would be, it's kind of insulting considering all the thought that goes into the work on this book. And, I mean, a lot of people who are complaining about that, actually, once you point out stuff that they were, and once you bring up certain things, they realize these people weren't paying attention to what they've been watching, and that makes them kind of dumb. And I'm not gonna name names, but I was getting into it with someone over that day. Yeah, it's been good. I mean, I was very pleased to find out they're going to be doing like a 15-minute thing, a new 15-minute thing with Hurley and Ben after the events of the finale, between them being left behind in the island and then of course dying. So there's going to be something in there in the complete series set that should be interesting to see.
Yeah, I think that comes out, what, in August sometime?
Yeah. I caved and I pre-ordered it.
I'm pretty interested to see how they tie it all together, because it's going to be an epilogue to the series, and I think rumor has it that they're going to deal with some of the story of Walt and what happened with him.
With who?
Walt.
Oh, yeah. Walt!
Walt!
I believe they're going to explain also why certain characters didn't appear in the finale, like Walt and Michael.
I think pretty much covered Michael.
Michael was there, I think.
Michael wasn't there in the church again, but I think they pretty much covered his story of, you know, why he wasn't there, because he was one of the island whisperers and he was not allowed to move on quite yet. And I don't know if you watched the Jimmy Kimmel special after.
No, I didn't, actually. I need to find that.
Yeah, I recommend it. I mean, some of it's a little bit hokey, but they do have the majority of the cast on there, and they do kind of delve into things a little bit there. And Harold Perrineau, the actor who plays Michael, is on there. He pretty much says that his thoughts are that he believes he wasn't seen in the church because he is stuck on the island, as his character told Hurley. In one of the last episodes, yeah.
Man. And it's a shame that we couldn't get Mr. Echo back for that finale either.
Yeah, I think it would have been nice to at least have him do a brief little cameo appearance. I would have rather have seen him than Anna Lucia, personally.
Yeah, and the thing is, Mr. Echo's character is probably the most spiritual character in that group, aside from Locke, you know?
Yeah.
That would have been cool, but I guess there were some issues with him or something. I don't know.
I just want to kind of, while we're going over, you know, possible epilogues and things of that nature, I got to say that the artist Mike Norton has been doing a series of comic strips.
Yes.
Kind of what happens after the finale, and they have been, hands down, some of the funniest things.
Yes, Mike Norton is on, he has a website, ihatemike.com. If you look him up, he has all his lost comics up there. And it's quite hilarious. And yeah. Actually, that's one of the things I loved about Lost being on Tuesdays, too. Every Tuesday, you can expect that, you can expect people to be doing Lost comics on Twitter. Like, there's a guy I followed, Nedroid is his Twitter handle. And he does some of the most hilarious stuff. I recommend looking him up.
Very nice.
Yeah. So, Simon, did you have any other thoughts about Lost? Like, do you have any things that you wish they dealt with that they never did, or any comments?
You know, I'm pretty satisfied with how they ended everything. Some of the questions that are lingering out there, I don't really have any great have answered. You know, it's when you get down to it, it's a show, people. You know, it's not the be-all, end-all of everything. You know, I think part of the metaphor is that life is not going to get a perfectly, you know, straightforward answer on everything. You know, so
yeah.
You know, I am satisfied. You know, if I never saw another thing about Lost again, I would be perfectly happy with how it ended.
Yeah. As for me, like I said, it was perfect. I was very happy with how it ended, and I, you know, my only, you know, I wish people were a bit more. There were people on the internet that day who were wishing that it would suck because they wanted people to be disappointed with it, and I don't get that. I don't get the hate people have for it. You cannot like something and it'll still be okay, you know. You don't have to like everything, but you don't need to ruin it for other people. It's basically it.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on that one, buddy.
Yeah, Simon, where can we find you on the internet?
Well, you can find me generally. Jinx World is Jew Mafia. Yeah, Brian Michael Bendis message board, or you can also find me at Twitter at Simon Hausner. And
we will link you to Simon's Twitter account in the show notes. And if anyone would like to meet you, where will they see you next?
Right now, next up, it looks like I will be at San Diego Comic-Con.
Excellent. And of course, you can find me at the usual spots, twitter.com/patloika, facebook.com/patloika, and of course, go to patloika.com where you will find show notes and all the stuff for this episode. And I will also be linking to all the fun Lost comics that have been coming out. So until next week, everyone take care and have a great it's a Memorial Day weekend, so have a great Memorial Day weekend, and the summer's coming. It's going to be good.
Yeah. You do the same, Patloika. I hope you have an excellent Memorial Day weekend, and I just want to give a quick shout-out to our brother-in-arms who went missing, Jose.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that guy. Internet celebrity Jose Baez. You can follow him on Twitter at Jabson. And I think that covers all our bases. You guys take it easy, and I'll see you next week. Peace.
Shalom.